بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، وعلى الصفوة من صحابته المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمنين ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. عطروا أفواهكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Our Islam today is facing a phenomenal challenge. Our religion, our faith is experiencing the toughest challenge since the inception of this faith by Prophet Muhammad 1400 years ago. This challenge, this danger, this upheaval, this turmoil is internal. We suffer from internal bleeding. It is not external. It is not a danger posed by an external enemy. It is mostly internal. It is within our tradition. And that danger is called extremism, fanaticism, fundamentalism. People who misunderstood the message of the Quran, and therefore they misrepresented Islam. Through their misconduct, through their abuse of this religion, they made not only the Muslim world a dangerous zone. Even here the UK, and most of you remember what happened last July in the UK, in London. And probably many of you remember what happened a few years ago in New York, in Washington, in other places, in Spain, in other places in the Middle East, and what is happening today as I talk to you tonight, what is happening today in our beloved land, the land of the Imams, the land of Iraq. Because of this misrepresentation of Islam, because of this misconduct of those very few, today most of the Muslims are treated as suspects. When you arrive into any international airport today, if you are an Arab, if you are a Muslim, it means you are a suspect. They made Islam sound synonymous to terrorism through their heinous aggressions and crimes against Muslims and non-Muslims worldwide. What is the problem with those people? And what is fundamentalism? Let me address this through three questions. If I can answer these three questions tonight and share them with you, then we can have a better understanding of this problem and therefore a better solution. A better solution. The title of the lecture tonight is Moderate Islam, not Militant Islam. We are the followers of the Moderate Islam. The genuine Islam, which was brought to us by our peaceful Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. By his immaculate, pure and authentic progeny and family. Even when we commemorate the message of Ashura and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, we emphasize the peaceful nature of this movement. Imam Hussein said it very clearly on the day of Ashura, "Inni akrahu an abda'ahum biqital." My tradition, my policy, is not to wage a war, but to foster peace and understanding. And this was his message. Even at the very last minutes before the eruption of the war in Karbala, Imam Hussein wanted to speak to Umar ibn Sa'd, the leader of the Umayyad army. Imam Hussein summons him to the tent and says to him, "I'm not here to declare a war against you. I'm not a warmonger. I'm the grandson of that man who was beaten, who was stoned in Mecca by his enemies. But he countered them with peace, with the message of peace, reconciliation. When he said to them, 'Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu.' I am the grandson of that man." Even when his wife Khadija, she saw him bleeding because of the stoning of Quraysh, she said to him, "Ya Rasulallah, lima la tad'u Allah alayhim? Why don't you invoke your God's curse upon them?" He answered, "Innani lam ub'ath la'anan, walakin bu'ithtu rahmatan lil'alameen." I was not sent, Khadija, remember. Remember, my dear wife Khadija. I was not sent as a curse and punishment and chastisement for the world. When God speaks about me in the Quran, He says, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." We sent you to bring compassion, mercy, understanding, and forgiveness to the world. So we are the followers of that Prophet. Today, the world has been made miserable by the very few of fanatic Muslims who deviated from the main course of Islam and Ahlul Bayt and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. What is their argument? What is their philosophy? The philosophy of the fundamentalists. They tell you that we live in a world which is inherently hostile to Islam and religion. We live in a world which is dominated by modern secularism, which relegated Islam and faith to the sidelines and made Islam only rituals. Islam today has no spirit. Islam today has no role. Islam today has no function. Therefore, we are fighting, and this fight is very necessary for the survival of this faith, to bring back Islam to the center stage, to bring back Islam to life. This is their argument. Beautiful argument, by the way, but it is very false. كَلِمَةُ حَقٍّ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٍ. Imam Ali, one day, when the Kharijites were raising the slogan, "La hukma illa lillah," they said, "Oh Ali, We do not accept your judgment. We do not accept your leadership. The only leader, the only judge is God. Imam Ali said, very true. This is a very true statement, of course. We all believe in it. Nobody negates the fact that Allah is the sovereign. Allah is the superpower. And we have to submit to Him. But what you are saying is very false. Your intention is false. It's not genuine. كَلِمَةُ حَقٍّ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. Exactly the same thing is being said and repeated by those fanatics, the takfiris, the salafis. By the way, many of you do not know the meaning of takfiris. Today we have a group among the Muslims, radical people among the Muslims, who say to you, if you do not believe in everything I believe in, then I would not accept you as a Muslim. I will consider you as an apostate, heretic, rejecter of faith, rejecter of God. Even if you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Even if you pray 5 times a day, even if you fast the month of Ramadan, even if they find you in the heart of Mecca and the sacred mosque, performing the pilgrimage and Hajj, since you do not believe in their policy, in their doctrines, then they consider you as a kafir, and once you are a kafir, your blood will be lawful. That's what they are doing in Iraq today. If you want to know why some people, they are ready to kill hundreds of people. This is their philosophy. They do not consider many Muslims today as Muslims, worshippers. Those are the takfiris, the salafis. And they are termed, they have other names. Wahhabis also are part of this culture. The culture of rage, resentment, revenge, violence, bloodshed. This culture is growing day by day. This culture is growing. We used to hear about it only in the Middle East. Today, it reached the shores of England, Europe, and America, North America. They are found in the mosques. I tell you a story which happened to me. Many of you heard of the name Seattle, an American city. I was there last July, visiting a Muslim community. I decided to go and visit a Sunni masjid to show my solidarity and my respect for my brothers and sisters in Islam. When I was in the masjid, the imam asked me to give a brief speech. So I gave a speech about Muslim unity and the necessity of being for one another, for being together, for being united. At the end of my speech, a man comes to me with a long beard. He tells me, listen, yes, we should be united, but one group with people, we cannot be united with them. I said, who are they? He said, those are the Shias. I said, but I am a Shia. He said, I know. I know you are a Shia. And I cannot be united with you. I said, why? What's the problem? He said, because you have a different Quran. I said, no, we don't have a different Quran. The Quran I use in my room, on my desk, is the Quran which has been printed in Medina, in Saudi Arabia. I do not have a different Quran. And I'm not afraid of you to say to you, I do not have a different Quran. He kept telling me, you are a liar, you are a kafir, and you should leave this place. Imagine, this is not a mosque in Peshawar, Pakistan. This is not in Kandahar, Afghanistan. This is not in Riyadh. This is in Seattle, America. We do have these mentalities. You have to be very careful today, brothers and sisters. The subject that we are addressing tonight is very crucial, very important. How to lead a peaceful life. How to follow the genuine Islam. Islam that calls for peace and social justice. Islam that believes in respect and dignity of the human race, not only the Muslims, the human race. Islam, which holds value for diversity of the people. So, this is their argument. Now, is fundamentalism an Islamic, only an Islamic problem? It's not only an Islamic problem, brothers and sisters. Almost in every faith, in every culture, in every religion, you may find some fundamentals, some fanatics. In Judaism, you have people who believe in fanaticism. They gun down worshippers inside holy places, inside mosques, as you hear from time to time. In Christianity, you have people who kill and bomb abortion clinics, kill nurses and doctors and federal buildings in America and elsewhere in the name of Christianity and Jesus. In Buddhism, in Hinduism, almost in every culture, you do have fanatics. The only difference is that when it comes to Islam, when we have some, very few who are fanatic, who are corrupt, we, the majority of the Muslims, have to pay the price. We have to pay the price. This is the difference. You and me, our sisters, our brothers, have to pay the price because of the misconduct of the very few. In Islam, needless to say, that these heinous crimes, the bombing of the innocents, whether it happens here in London or elsewhere, or in Baghdad, or in any other place, it runs contrary to the spirit, to the teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Quran, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If one single soul is murdered for no reason but to conduct mischief in the land for no reason, any soul, any human soul, regardless of the color, of the race, of the religion, of the ideology, any soul, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا نَفْسًا, human soul, بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ, as if he has murdered the entire people of earth. This is an assault on the entire community of earth when one single person, regardless of his or her faith, is killed. An assault on all the people of earth. Regarding the Muslims, Allah says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. There is no more harsh statement in the Quran condemning a murderer who kills innocent people than this one. Go and search the Holy Quran, the entire Quran. This is the harshest statement in the Quran regarding the person who kills an innocent believer, mu'min. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, deliberately, for no reason. فَجَزَاؤُهُ, his retribution is جَهَنَّمْ. There is no forgiveness for him. جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا, lives there eternally, forever. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and he draws the wrath of God upon him. وَلَعَنَهُ, and the curse of God. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا, رسول الله محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet says, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ دَمٍ سُفِكَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Listen to this statement. If you have a non-Muslim friend who wants to know the nature of Islam, just tell him this hadith. This is an authentic narration of the Prophet. لزوال الدنيا, the obliteration, the annihilation, the destruction of the cosmos system is less painful to God, less painful to God than the murder of a single person who is killed for no reason, an innocent person for no reason. This is the nature of Islam. By the way, fundamentalism is not an Islamic term. The political connotation of this is very new. And if you read about the history of fundamentalism, you will find that this term began in America, in fact, in America by the Protestant Christians who wanted to distinguish themselves at the early decades of this century, 20th century. They wanted to distinguish themselves from the more liberal Christians, and they wanted to re-emphasize the basic tradition of Christianity, go back to basics. So they termed themselves fundamentalists. It is a non-Islamic term. However, when we come to Islam, do we have fundamentalism or not? What do you think? Do we or do we not? No answer? I'll answer myself. Yes, we do. We have positive fundamentalism and negative one. The positive one is mentioned in the Quran. The pioneer of the positive usuliyah or fundamentalism is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Is the infallible Imams of Ahlul Bayt. It means back to basics, the basics of Islam, the basics teachings of the Quran, of the Prophet. That's the meaning of positive fundamentalism. The ingredients of this positive fundamentalism is openness, tolerance, diversity, forgiveness, respect for human life and human dignity, religious tolerance. One of the important fundamentals of Islam, religious tolerance. Do you know that for the first time in the history of Islam, a delegation of the Christians came all the way from Najran in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his mosque in Medina. They came all the way, the pontiff of Najran and many cardinals with him. The Prophet opened his mosque for them to perform their own prayers inside the mosque of the Prophet, which was built by the Prophet himself. The Prophet opened his house and his mosque for those people to worship God. This is the spirit of tolerance in Islam. Islam is not anti-Christianity. Islam is not anti-Judaism. Islam is not anti-humanity. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say to them, let's come to one stand. Let's worship none but God, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Allah says to the Muslims, O Muslims, Allah does not forbid you to do righteousness and goodness and kindness to those non-Muslims who did not do wrong against you, who do not have animosity and hatred against you. Be kind to them. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم. To do righteousness to them, to help them, to respect them. أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. قسط is the final stage of justice. to be very just and fair and kind to them. This is the spirit of Islam. But if you read in the history of Christianity, and I have to elaborate on this subject maybe at another time, inshallah. Read the history of Christianity until very few years ago. The main slogan in Christianity was, killing non-Christian pleases God. Killing non-Christian pleases God. If you want to make God happy, then go ahead and kill non-Christians. Religious tolerance in Europe, in America, is very recent. It's very recent. We have our own faith, our own Quran, who called from day one, called for a mutual understanding between Muslims and non-Muslims. So this is positive. Positive fundamentalism. And by the way, one of the things that our leader, our Imam, the last Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, alayhi salatu wassalam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the things that he is going to do when he comes back, inshallah, when he reappears and Allah permits him to come back into the Muslim community, into this community. يَأْتِ بِدِينٍ جَدِيدٍ. People think that he brings a new religion, because this faith and this religion would have been so corrupted by tyrants. That when the Imam comes with Islam, the authentic Islam, people think that this is a new religion. يَأْتِ بِدِينٍ جَدِيدٍ. He's a pioneer of reforms and changes. So this is positive fundamentalism. We have a problem with the negative fundamentalism, which is based on violence, intimidation, hatred, coercion. That is what we see today. That is the negative fundamentalism. And this has a history, brothers and sisters. The history began as early as the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I don't want to mention details, because I always, one of the strong advocates of Sunni Shi'i understanding. I don't want to open files today and discuss things which are very painful. So leave that for another time. But this campaign of coercion, of violence, of intimidation, began even at the time of Rasulullah. Not by the Prophet, not by his rightful companions and family members, by the very few. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. And then this campaign and this movement of violence continued and reached its peak during the time, the era of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. This campaign intensified. A campaign of coercion and force, intimidation, the bloodshed until the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. I want you to read the history of Islam. You have to read. You have to educate yourself. Islam has a long history. Why we are here today? This has a history. The reason you are sitting here has a history. You have to read the history. You have to know the reasons why Imam Hussein was murdered. Why on earth should the son of the Prophet, the grandson of the Prophet, when people see the Prophet himself holding him, kissing him, and saying, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn, ahabba Allah man ahabba Husayna. Husayn is part of me and I am part of Husayn. Husayn is of me and I am of Husayn. May Allah bestow His compassion and love on the one who loves Husayn. Why should this man be murdered? with no helpers other than 72 people with him. Why? What happened? What's wrong with the Muslim nation? You have to read the history of Islam. You have to read the history of Islam. Some people, when we speak about Imam Hussein and this conflict, they tell you both are with God. Hussein is with God and Yazid with God. And Allah is the best judge. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Let God take care of His business. We should not assume God's business. We don't care. We respect both. This is the philosophy of many Muslims today. When you are about to discuss the history of Islam and what happened after the Prophet, they tell you, no. Don't. No, we are not allowed. We are not allowed to discuss these stories. They are both with God, and Allah is the final judge. We have to care about our business. But that is not right. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not be on the side of the wrongdoers, the evildoers. Lest the fire touches you. You have to be careful. You have to show, to see your way here in this life. Allah does not like a naive Muslim, a naive believer. The true believer should be discerning, prudent, wise, knowing what he's doing. You cannot just follow any way and say this way is the road for salvation. We are not like other traditions, other religious traditions. They tell you that once you believe in this prophet, in Jesus, once you hear about him, you receive salvation. That's a piece of cake. Then even Hitler believes in Jesus. He must have read about Jesus. Maybe his mother told him one day that there is Jesus. So he received salvation. Is this true? No. Allah says, I want you to follow the truth wisely. I want you to know what you are doing. Even your grade in paradise tomorrow, even when you enter paradise, they are going to grade you. They are going to book you according to your understanding. Your understanding of faith. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Al-Ma'rufu ala qadar al-Ma'rifah. The more you know about Islam, the more you are confident about what you are doing, the higher place you have in paradise. This is why Allah did not create paradise only one story building. Paradise has many grades and many degrees and many floors. Because people are different in their understanding. We have to be wise and prudent. Why we are here? Why it's important for me and you to remember Imam Hussein, to commemorate him. So this, the problem of fanaticism, bigotry, racism, discrimination, intensified during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Read the history of Islam. Muawiyah divided the people into Arabs and non-Arabs. History of racism begins with him. Begins first with the shaitan. Satan said to Allah, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. He is the founding father of racism. He said, you created me from fire and he created him from dust. Therefore I am better than him. Muawiyah came to exacerbate this problem. To continue this movement of racism. Bigotry. Divided the Muslims into Arabs and non-Arabs. Mawali. The other name was Mawali. And Mawali, even though they are Muslims, they have to pay taxes to the Islamic government. And who represents the Islamic government? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. It goes into his pocket. He started a campaign of cleansing, ethnic, religious cleansing. Against whom? Against the noble companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The great companions, the Sahaba of Rasulullah, were harassed, were chased, were imprisoned, incarcerated, and ultimately murdered and killed and tortured by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. The companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib were killed and chased in every corner. Whoever mentions the name of Ali will be liable for punishment. Therefore, no Muslim had the guts to mention the name Ali. If they wanted to refer to Imam Ali, they should say Abu Zainab, his nickname, not Ali. Mentioning the name Ali was a big crime during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Ali is the man that the Prophet says very openly, publicly says to him, Ya Ali, anta ma'al haqq wal haqq ma'ak yaduru ma'aka haythu dirt. Ali, you would never part from the truth, righteousness. You are always with the truth and the truth is always with you. It becomes a crime to mention his name. The Khatib, the speaker on the Friday, the holiest day in Islam, will surmount the pulpit, stands there, and would not finish his sermon unless he curses Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein on the pulpit, on the minbar. That is a during Friday sermon. It became part and parcel of the Friday sermon. Whoever wants to finish, conclude his sermon, he should send curse. His curse. La'an. Of Ali, Fatima. Who's Fatima, brothers? Tell me who's Fatima. Fatima the Bukhari. This is not a Shia reference, huh? Look at the Bukhari. There is a professor, American professor, who converted to Islam. I read one of his books. Beautiful book. And his book says the reason that prompted me to believe that this is a true religion, Islam is a true religion. And he's a professor, huh? He's not a drug dealer. He's a professor of mathematics. And that's an asset to Islam. He says the reason which prompted me to accept this religion is when I opened Sahih al-Bukhari, I found in that book that God, the God of Islam, says, that the Prophet says about the God of Islam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَهُ وَيَغْضَبُ لِغَضَبِهُ. Allah is pleased for the pleasure of Fatima. He says, we live in a culture that in this culture we believe that Islam is a misogynist religion, is an anti-women religion. Women are a secondary citizen in this faith. But once I read this book, that the God of this religion, the leader of this religion, the author of Islam, he is pleased for the pleasure of a lady, and he is wrathful for her wrath and anger, I realized that this religion is a true religion. There is no discrimination against women in this religion. Therefore, this must be a true religion. This is Fatima. Fatima al-Zahra. And the Khatib stands and he curses Fatima. And he curses Hassan and Hussein. This is the time of Muawiyah. And Muslims were silent. The vast majority of the Muslims were silent. And they considered Muawiyah, even today, you dare speak about Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan in any Muslim country today. He is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithfuls. So this campaign, that was the first wave of extremism in Islam. Began during the time of Muawiyah. The second wave began 700 years ago by a man called Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah al-Harrani al-Hanbali. This man was born almost more than 750 years ago. And he's one of the pioneers of fanaticism. He has a book, a thesis by the name of Minhaj al-Sunnah. In that book, he curses Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Let me tell you one example of what he says in his book. And I want you to go and read this. To be scientific, I want you to go and read what he said in that book. First of all, contrary to the belief of the vast majority of the Muslim philosophers, he believed in the physical embodiment of God, in the incarnation of Allah, at-tajseem, that God has a physical body, physical shape. And he believes that some people can see God not only on the Day of Judgment, even here in this life. They can see God. No wonder why some people come to me and they tell me that last night I saw God playing football. He believes that God is incarnated and he has a body, physical shape, contrary to the belief of almost every Muslim philosopher. This is one. Number two, in his book, look at the comparison he makes. Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. He says, Abu Huraira prayed, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to pray for my mother to be guided by God. So the Prophet raised his hand and he prayed for the mother of Abu Huraira. And God guided her. She became a good Muslim. And then Abu Huraira came to the Prophet again and he said, O Prophet of God, I want you to pray for my clan, Qabila to Daws. The name of his clan is Daws. So the Prophet again prayed to God and God guided the whole clan. Listen. And then the Prophet prayed for his own mother, Amina bint Wahab. He said, سَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ لِي بِأَنْ أَدْعُوَ لِأُمِّي فَلَمْ يَأْذَنْ لِيَ اللَّهُ. Allahu Akbar. He says that the Prophet asked God's permission. So he seek forgiveness. لِأَسْتَغْفِرَ لِأُمِّي. I seek forgiveness for my mother. The Prophet, is asking God, seeking his permission to pray for the forgiveness of his mother. God did not give him permission. What does that mean? It means the mother of Abu Huraira is better than the mother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Ibn Taymiyyah, the mastermind of extremism. This is the idol of many Muslims today who respect him. He inspired many people today. So this campaign continued with this man. This man wrote a thesis, Ibn Taymiyyah. I want you to search for it and read it. The title of his thesis, and that is the very first time someone puts religious extremism in words. In words, not only statements, in words. Jawazu qital al-Rafida. The necessity of killing, slaughtering Rafida. Rafida is the nickname of Shia. According to them, we are nicknamed Rafida. We are rejectionists because the Shia rejected the leadership of the first and the second caliphs. So they are called Rafida. He writes a thesis that they are non-Muslims and you are allowed to slaughter them. This is Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. And then he applauds the Khawarij for assassinating Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said what they did was right. By killing Ali ibn Abi Talib. And so on and so on and so on. And then 300 years ago, another man came by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi. The pioneer and the mastermind of Wahhabism today. This man, again, he continued the tradition of Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, his teacher and his mentor. And he declared that whoever does not accept our idea, what I say, what I personally declare and say, then he or she would be termed and labeled non-Muslim, kafir, infidel, rejecter of faith. This is why today the most common word used in that land is mushrik, kafir, mushrik, kafir, mushrik, kafir. Like an ice cream, you know. Always. Mushrik kafir. Don't do that. Don't touch. Don't kiss. Don't look. Don't smell. Don't do. Mushrik kafir. Very easy to brand Muslims as mushriks. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, once a man declares The two testimonies, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that no one has right to tell, to say to him, you are a non-Muslim. You are an infidel, you are a kafir. You have no right. Man kaffara musliman faqad kafar. Whoever labels any Muslim, any individual Muslim, let alone a group or country or a school of thought, even an individual, as an infidel, he commits shirk, polytheism. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab comes, and then he was disapproved by his own sibling, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi. He wrote a thesis refuting his brother's ideas. نقض الوهابية. His brother, his sibling. Hundreds of Muslim scholars from the Shafi'i school of thought, the Hanbali, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Ja'fari and others, they refuted and refused what this man wrote. This man caused a great division in Islam. Let me tell you just one of his statements. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, one day he was giving a speech. He raised his cane and he said, عصايا هذه أفضل من محمد لأن عصايا أنتفع بها ومحمد جثة هامدة لا ينتفع بها. My cane is much more useful and better than this man whose name is Muhammad. Because Muhammad today is dead, while I can use my cane, it's useful for me. Muhammad is useless today and my cane is useful. See? This is the leader of Wahhabism today. So they led a campaign to seclude Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet from the masses, from the people, to corner them. You are not allowed to mention them even today. Unfortunately, and I say this, and I want the government of Saudi Arabia to listen carefully. Once you arrive into that holy land, the first book they put into your hand is a book which attacks Ahlul Bayt and the Shia Islam. This is the first book you are given to poison your thoughts. Because they know that people are going to visit the house of Allah and then they go to visit the shrine of the Prophet and then there is the Baqi' next to the shrine of the Prophet. So the best thing to seclude Ahlul Bayt and separate them from the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim masses, is to poison their mind, is to tell them that you are committing apostasy. This is heresy. This is shirk. It will take you away from Allah. While the hadith says, Man arad Allah bada'a bikum, whoever intends to reach Allah, he has to begin with Ahlul Bayt. Antumul adilla'u ala Allah. You are the gates to Allah. In your personal computer you have a password. And Allah Himself has a password. In order for me and you to reach Allah, we have to use the right password. And the right password for Allah is Muhammad and Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. Those who lead us to the authentic Quran, to understanding the true message of Quran. Inni tarikun aw mukhallifun fikum athqalain kitab Allah wa atrak. When he left, the legacy of the Prophet are two. If we use only one, that would not work. We will be doomed to fail. We have to use both. Both. Quran, the Holy Quran, and the progeny of the Prophet. Those who explain the Quran for us. Allah says in the Quran, some of my statements are vague. You need someone to explain them to you. And I am going to choose that interpreter, not you. I would not leave it for you. I will choose it for you. I will choose the translator of my book for you. And Allah chose the translators and the interpreters. And those are the progeny of the Prophet. So in order for us to understand the true message of the Quran, we need Ahlul Bayt. We cannot separate them. The Prophet turns to Imam Ali and says to him, Ya Ali, من أحبكم من أحب أهل بيتي فقد تمسك بالعروة الوثقى. عروة الوثقى, the stronghold. What does God say about this? عروة الوثقى, لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. If you want to get hold of God, the true message, the true light of God, then you have to be with Ahlul Bayt. You cannot separate yourself from them. But unfortunately, Wahhabism, the Salafis, the Takfiris, the anti-Ahlul Bayt groups, the first thing they attack is the progeny of the Prophet. And I cannot understand, how can one love a person without loving his immediate family, if his family were righteous and good? How can one see the person, a person, saying to the masses, oh people, I am not awaiting for any monetary compensation. I'm not expecting you to give me a piece of land or money or any type of reward. The only thing I want you to do for me after my death, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Affection and love and respect for my progeny and family. Don't leave them alone. Be with them. Support them. Follow them. They will get you into me on the pond of Kawthar. And then, even today, they send peace. In Sahih al-Bukhari, I want you to open that book and see. Many of his narrations are authentic. They came to the Prophet. They said, Ya Rasulullah, عَرِفْنَا كَيْفَ نُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْكَ فَعَلِّمْنَا كَيْفَ نُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. We know how to greet you. We say, Assalamu alaikum. But teach us how to send peace and prayers over you. He said, قُولُوا أَلَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ سَمِيعٌ مُجِيبٌ. And then he said, do not send me an amputated prayers. لا تصلوا علي الصلاة البتراء. Incomplete prayers. Don't send me an incomplete prayers. Once you send me a prayers, I want it to be complete. He said to him, يا رسول الله, وما الصلاة البتراء? What do you mean by amputated prayers? He said, أن تصلوا علي وتتركوا آلي. To send peace and prayers on me, over me. And you left my family, you leave my family, you don't mention them. Don't do that. Always join my family with me. But this is what happened during the time of the Wahhabis. Almost 8 years ago, to disconnect me and you and all the Muslim community, the Muslim Ummah from Ahlul Bayt, they attempted to destroy the holy shrines in Baqiyah. For those of you who have been to Medina, You see a sharp contrast. On one side, you see the glorious shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the glorious masjid of the Prophet. Only a few yards away, you see a very deserted, closed, and dark cemetery. You wonder what happens. Who are those who are born here? Who are those who are buried here? They tell you there is about 10,000 of the companions of the Prophet. This is the most ancient cemetery. Who else? And you are told there are 4 infallible prophets. But their graves are secluded. You are not allowed to reach there. You are not even allowed to greet. Look at the double standard. When you pass by the grave of the Prophet, there are 2 signs. It tells you, Huna, الصلاة على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, here in this position, so you have to greet him here. Immediately next to it, هنا الصلاة على أبي بكر رضي الله عنه. Next to it, هنا الصلاة السلام على عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. So you may greet them, there are signs there. But once you go to the Baqi', you stand before the grave of Imam Hassan, the son of the Prophet, Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet, Muhammad al-Baqir, Ja'far al-Sadiq. This is shirk. This is apostasy. This is heresy to say, Assalamu alayka ibn Rasulullah. Look at the double standard and hypocrisy here. It's okay to greet and pay homage and a tribute to that party, but it is forbidden. It's bid'ah. It's an innovation. It's haram. It's unlawful to greet the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They led this campaign to demolish the Baqi'a, and they literally demolished the Baqi'a about 85 years ago. Today, when you go, there are bare stones and graves. No shrines exist today. لمن القبور الدارسات بطيبة عفت لها أهل الشقاء آثارا قل للذي أفتى بهدم قبورهم أن سوف تصلى في القيامة نارا. They issued that fatwa, that religious injunction, false religious injunction, which speaks on behalf of the enemies of Allah, not the lovers of Allah, that these graves have to be demolished, and they did demolish them. But I am asking you tonight, brothers and sisters, who brought you here? Did anyone pay you money to come here and sit on the floor? Who brought you here other than the love for Allah and His Apostle and His family and His the progeny of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is the love of Ahlul Bayt implanted in our hearts. This is the place of Ahlul Bayt. Yes, the shrine is important, but they thought that by demolishing the shrine, by disallowing the people to go and pay tribute, people will stop their respect and their fellowship for Ahlul Bayt. They are dead wrong. Ahlul Bayt and the belief in them and loyalty to them is planted in our blood, in our blood, in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts. We are always with them. مَنْ لَزِمَنَا لَزِمْنَاهُ. Whoever is with us, مَنْ تَوَلَّى حَجَرًا حَشَرَهُ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. Whoever is with them in this life, he will be certainly, certainly, definitely, you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. If you follow a rock, a stone in this life, then you will be with that rock and stone on the Day of Judgment. We are with Ahlul Bayt, and this is why we are here. And allow me today to mention their mother, the noble Fatima alayha salam, Lady Fatima. Usually we mention Imam Hussein and members of his family, even some of his companions. But today I decided, wait a minute, what about Fatima? Fatima who produced these lights. Fatima the mother, the infallible mother of those imams. Fatima, which was the vehicle to carry this light, the light of the Prophet, the light of guidance to us and to all the generations until the Day of Judgment. Fatima to Zahra alayhi salam. Fatima was very saddened by the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would sit. She declared mourning from the days that the Prophet was on deathbed. She came to him. She knew that the Prophet is leaving her and leaving this life. And he mentioned to her, prophesied to her, that Fatima Habibati, my beloved daughter, you be the first, you will be the first member of my family to be rejoined with me. Don't worry, Fatima. I would not leave you alone. And this is what happened. Only a few days after the departure of Rasulullah. جمعوا على بيت النبي محمد حطبا وأشعلت الضغائن وأشعلت الضغائن نارها. All this hatred, animosity gathered on that day on the doorstep of Fatima al-Zahra. On that door, they burned the door. They wanted to burn that light and that inspiration inside that house. But they failed because Allah promises us, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They try, they attempt to extinguish the light of God with their mouths. But I decided that my light has to be prevail. Has to prevail and dominate. And that is through Fatima alayhi salam. So she used to come to the grave of her father Rasulullah. أَبَتَاهُ رُفِعَتْ قُوَّتِي
وخانني جلدي والكمد قاتلي. Oh my father, I am left lonely after you, my father, يا رسول الله. I am helpless, hopeless. I am alone and I am counting the days to join you, my father, my beloved father. So she would take the hands of Hassan and Hussein with her. Comes to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She takes a handful of dust. She starts smelling it. And she says, I can feel the fragrance of my father. مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدٍ أَنْ لَا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. Yes, if you realize the fragrance, the aroma of this soil, of this dust, you would not substitute that with any other perfume or fragrance. مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدٍ أَنْ لَا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. قَدْ كُنْتُ ذَاتَ حِمًا بِظِلِّ مُحَمَّدٍ. During the lifetime of my father, people respected me. I had honor with him. People dared to say anything bad to me. قَدْ كُنْتُ ذَاتَ حِمًا بِظِلِّ مُحَمَّدٍ لَا أَخْتَشِي ضَيْمًا وَكَانَ حِمًا لِيَا وَالْيَوْمَ أَخْضَعُ لِلْعَدُوِ وَأَتَّقِي ضَيْمِي وَأَدْفَعُ ظَالِمِي بِرِدَائِيَا أَبَتَاهُ. صبت علي مصائب لو أنها صبت علي مصائب لو أنها صبت على الأيام صرنا لياليا من ضرب العصا ما ضل حال لها ولا ضل حيل من ضرب العصا ما ضل حال لها ولا ضل حيل اللي ما ماتت بغصتها يا ويلي ولا يفيد الويل غسلها علي بيده وكفنها ودفنها بليل. The last minutes of her life, she said to her husband, Imam Ali عليه السلام, يا أبا الحسن, I need some private time to spend with you. So she sent Hassan, Hussein, Zainab and Kulthum, Kulthum outside the house. She found some moments of a privacy to spend with her loyal husband. She said to him, it's a long will. She said to him, Ya Aba al-Hassan, إذا قضيت نحبي فغسلني وكفني. Until she said to him, Ya Aba al-Hassan, ولا تشهد جنازتي أحدا من هؤلاء الذين ظلموني ولا من أتباعهم وأشياعهم فإنهم عدوي وعدو الله. I have a wish, oh my dear husband, I have a wish. I want you to fulfill this wish for me. Should I die? I don't want those who wronged me, who abused me, who offended me, who humiliated me to walk in my procession, to come and attend my funeral. وَلَا تُجْهِدْ جَنَازَتِي أَحَدًا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُونِي وَلَا مِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوُّ اللَّهِ. ونعشي يا ابن عمي من تشيلة نص الليل أريده يصير شيلة وعلي تراب قبري منتهي ليل قبري لا تخلي رسم يظهر. And this is what happened. All the Muslims, they gathered at the house of Ali and Fatima. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, he came out. He said, يا صحابة رسول الله أيها الناس لقد تأخر تجهيز فاطمة ودفنها هذه الليلة. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari was sent by Amir al-Mu'mineen to declare, to announce, all the people of Medina, all the community of the Muslims, the funeral of Fatima has been delayed tonight. So people dispersed. They went home. You know how many people walked in her procession? This is the beloved daughter of Rasulullah, and he is the last messenger of Allah. Only seven companions. Only seven people walked in her procession until they reached the grave. When they reached the grave, Imam Ali turned to Abi Dhar al-Ghifari. He said, يا عم يا أبا عذر قل خذ بيد الحسن والحسين وعد بهما إلى الدار. I want you to take the hand of Hassan and Hussein. One was probably 6 years old and the other was only 7 years old. Go back, take them back to house. Then he turned to other companions. He said to him, تفرقوا لا حاجة لي ببقائكم. I want you to go back home. I'm alone here, leave me alone with my beloved wife. He carried the coffin of Fatima. He placed her in her final place, in her resting place. Then he covers her with the dirt and dust. Then he turns to Rasulullah, to the Prophet. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. عني وعن ابنتك النازلة في جوارك السريعة اللحاق بك. O ya Rasulullah, I send my salam on behalf of myself and also on behalf of a beloved person to you, and that is your daughter Fatima, who soon joined you tonight, ya Rasulullah. O my dear Prophet, I want you to insist on Fatima, to ask her about the reason of her early departure, why she joined with you very early at this young age. She is only 18 years old. Ya Rasulullah, I want you to insist on her, because she didn't tell me, she kept it secret on me. She didn't tell me about her suffering. أفصبران يا صاحب الأمر والخطب جليل يذيب قلب الصبور أو تدري لم أحرق الباب بالنار أرادوا إطفاء ذاك النور أو تدري ما صدر فاطمة بالمسمار ما حال ضلعها المكسور ما سقوط الجنين ما حمرة العين وما بال قرطها المنثور ولأي الأمور تدفن ليلا بضعة المصطفى ويعفى ثراها بنت من أم من حليلة من ويل لمن سن ظلمها وأداها. Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the source of forgiveness, the source of giving, the source of generosity. Let's turn to Allah with tears in our eyes, with sadness in the hearts. Let's do the real tawajjuh, the real intention. Pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him. This is the moment of accepting the prayers and responding to them. Allah will respond to your prayers if it comes from a genuine heart. نسألك اللهم وندعوك. Let's recite this ayah. Many people called and many people said, since in your session there are some innocent people, the youngsters are still innocent. The hadith says, لولا, if it wasn't. This is al-hadith al-Qudsi, divine narration. لولا شيوخ ركع وشباب خشع وبهائم رتع وأطفال رضع لصب عليكم العذاب صب. Allah says, if it wasn't for elderly people who are prostrating, and for young people just like you, who are pious, who are righteous, who have the fear of God in their hearts, and for suckling babies, innocent babies, and cattles who have no sins, I would have sent punishment on you immediately. So let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's recite this ayah 5 times together. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم اكشف السوء عنا وعن جميع المؤمنين والمكروبين والمحرومين يا الله اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر العلماء العاملين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم تقبل منا هذا اليسير بلطفك وكرمك أوصل Remember our Imam, our leader, the infallible Imam, Imam al-Hujjah عليه الصلاة والسلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وخدامه والمستشهدين بين يديه اللهم أدم ظل علماءنا العاملين خاصة سماحة آية الله السيد السيستاني وبقية المراجع العظام أدل ظلهم يا أرحم الراحمين وفقنا لخدمة الدين تقبل منا هذا العزاء بلطفك وكرمك وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.